The book of Revelation, please, on chapter 21. The last book of your Bible. The book of Revelation, and it's chapter 21. And we are reading from verse 1, please. While you're finding the place, let me thank David for his words of welcome. And let me thank both him and May for their hospitality and their fellowship today. We enjoyed the day with them. So we thank them for it, and we thank you for having us, and thank you for coming out. And the Lord bless you indeed. Chapter 21, Revelation, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And of course, that's our present earth. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. And we are gazing here into the future. And John sees the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And in verse 3 he says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. You see, this present earth is going to pass away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things that characterize this earth will indeed pass away. That's why today we are looking for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This present world is not our home. We're only passing through. Our treasures are all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Remember, this world is governed by the God of this world, the devil. And he's blinding the minds of men and women, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, and they should be saved. Verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. This will really come to pass, you know. For these words are true and faithful, and they're spoken by him who is the true and faithful God. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So you can see in these verses, they're looking in to the future, a future day when God will rule and reign in righteousness, and the people of God will rule and reign with him. But you know, in verse number 6, he goes back to this present time, and he saith, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And that's the message that's going out today. Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. He said to the woman at the well, If thou hadst known who asked thee, thou would have asked him and he would have given thee life-giving water. Mm-hmm. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You see, we can only become the children of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But then, verse 8. This must be one of the most awesome verses in all the scriptures. For it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, small liars, big liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But thank God, all those that are the children of God through faith in Christ, on them the second death hath no power, for they have passed from death into life, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, born again of the Spirit of the living God. These verses speak of a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth. It speaks of a new city, and that is the New Jerusalem. And it speaks of a new condition that will characterize the children of God when Jesus comes again. And that new condition is an amazing and abiding relationship between God and his children. And it's an everlasting relationship that you never fade and never ever die. Our Lord Jesus said in verse number 5, behold, I make all things new. And I want to talk to you about things new this evening. Things new. And I can well remember the day and hour when I trusted Christ as my own personal Savior. When I bowed my knees before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and I prayed the sinner's prayer, Lord Jesus, save me, a sinner. And at that split psychological second, when I trusted in Christ, I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, a new creation in Christ. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and become all things are become new. The man in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new person. And the scriptures tell us, ye must be born again, or enter heaven never. 'Tis only twice born ones go there, the ransomed and forgiven. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath committed to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Oh, we once were afar off from God, travelling a broad road, going down to eternal destruction, at enmity with God, afar off from God. But when we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and we trusted Christ, we became new creatures in Christ, born again of the Spirit of the living God. The Apostle Peter makes no mistake when he tells us that we must be born again. Seeing then that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, See that ye love one another with pure hearts fervently. Listen to it. Being born again.
Yes.
Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The incorruptible seed by which we are born again of God is indeed the word of God.
Amen.
It's the truth of God's word, for that is the instrument whereby we are born again, whereby we are regenerated, and whereby we are brought into the family and into the fold of God. Ye must be born again. That's the truth that comes down through the centuries to this moment, and it's an unchanging statement. It was spoken first by our Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus, a religious ruler of the Pharisees, and he said, ye must be born again. That's the message that all evangelicals have. It's preached from our pulpits time and time again. And why should it be preached? Because the simple answer is, ye must be born again. For it's only those that are born again of the Spirit of God that are ready for heaven and for home. Are you a new creature in Christ? Are you a new person? As far as you are concerned, are the things of this old world passed away? Has your life been changed since you came to know the Savior? The old sins that you once enjoyed, the old sins that you once gloried in, you now hate, and they're behind your back, and you're seeking to walk in ways that are pleasing to God, because you're a new creature, you're a new child of God through faith in Christ, and you're seeking to walk in ways that are pleasing to Him. This brings me to my second point. A new person will discover he's on a new pathway, and that pathway is a narrow pathway. Look with me, please, at Matthew's Gospel and chapter 7 and it's verse number 14. And we read here, verse 13, just for the connection. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And the old Puritans of old used to say that above those gates was written these words, abandon hope, all ye who enter here, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that found it. Have you found the narrow way that's leading to heaven and home? Have you come through the strait gate? And that strait gate leads straight to Calvary's cross. That strait gate leads you to Mount Calvary. It leads you to the place that is called Calvary, where the blessed Savior bled and died. For at the place called Calvary, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their transgressions unto them. Beloved, it's the way of the cross leads home. And there is no other way but this. The gates of light you would ne'er gain sight if the way of the cross you miss. For you see, there is but one God and one mediator between God and men. It's the man Christ Jesus. And the man Christ Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross, who finished the work of redemption, shed his blood for our redemption, he can take the believing sinner by one hand, and he can take a holy God by the other, and reconcile us, and bring us together through the finished work of the cross. And there's no other way but this. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's through his mercy he saved us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. But not but so many. There are so many, my dear friends, who want to go to heaven. But they want to go to heaven their own way. And there are so many who want to walk the gold-paved street of glory. But they're not willing to go God's way. They're not willing to go the way of the cross. They want to go by the way of their own devising. For you see, friends, this book tells me that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You go your own way. Try to gain heaven your own way. And you'll discover at the end of that way that death comes. Not only physical death, but the second death, which is the lake of fire. And as many whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the way home. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. And Jesus Christ alone can save the sinful soul. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my all eternally. Are you a new person in Christ? Are you walking a new pathway to glory? It's a narrow pathway. It's God's pathway. It's not your own pathway. It's not a pathway of your own devising or your own making or your own planning. That pathway is the way of the cross. It's the way that Christ went. Are you following him to the Father's house? In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Do you want to go to the Father's house? Well, then you'll need to go the way that Christ went. Ah, but sad to say, friends, this old book tells me that all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Men have turned to their own way. And that's the way that brings them to eternal ruin. We have turned everyone to his own way. And because we want to go our own way, we have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We're in rebellion against God. We're seeking to live without God. We think we can go to heaven without God's Christ. And we're deceived by the god of this world, the devil. Oh, man's ruin, oh, man's rebellion. Ah, but God hath provided a great redemption. And it's through Christ. And it's through Christ alone. And if you turn to your own way, my dear friend, it's a pathway that's leading to eternal destruction and the blackness of darkness forever. Ah, but if you've come to Christ and you're a new creation, a new person, and you're walking this new pathway, you'll discover this. You have a new position before God. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 40. And I'll show you this. Psalm 40 is one of those outstanding psalms that have been a blessing to untold multitudes down through the ages. And we quote it so often because it's been so real in many of our experiences. The psalmist cries, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Friend, are you on the rock? Are you resting in Jesus? Can you truly sing, Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee? It's only Christ can lift us out of an horrible pit and from the miry clay of sin. My dear friends, I want to say this, that if you're in a pit, you don't have to wait for evolution to get you out. You don't have to wait for religion to get you out. It's only the dead lift of grace that does that. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's only God's grace can lift you from the miry clay and from the horrible pit. My dear friends, watch what Paul penned in his epistle to the Romans. Oh, how this man has written so many epistles that establishes the saints in their faith and gives them great assurance of heaven. He says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to it. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, this new position that the saint has been brought into is by grace alone. It's in grace. And thank God it's in faith. And thank God it's by the gospel, the good news that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and he ever lives in the power of an endless life, and he's able to save to the uttermost all that will come unto God through faith in him. Yes, the Lord Jesus says he makes all things new. And he begins with you and me. When we put our faith and trust in him, we become a new creation. We become a new person. We begin to walk a new pathway because we have been brought into a new position. We are resting, we're standing upon the rock of ages. We're saved by grace. We walk by faith. And the gospel of Christ is the gospel of our salvation. And we are rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Ah, but you're not left to your own devices, you know, when you trust Christ. Because not only do you become a new person, walking a new pathway, you've been brought into a new position. No longer are you a child of wrath and disobedience, but you're a child of God through faith in Christ, and you can read your title clear to a mansion in the sky, and your life is hid with Christ and God. You've been brought into a new position. Ah, but you've got a new partner to walk through life with. Oh, this is the beauty of the gospel. Friends, listen. In Matthew 28 and verse 20, the Lord Jesus saith this, I am with you only. He says to you and me, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am, what's the word? With you, always, even unto the end of the age. I tell you this, dear friend, Jesus Christ, your Savior, he never leave you and he never forsake you, so that we may boldly say at all times, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But that doesn't mean, dear child of God, that there won't come times of testing, and times of trial, and times of trouble, and the storms of life come upon us, and we don't seem to know what way to turn. Well then, when you don't know what way to turn, just turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And as you bow at his feet and cast your all upon him, he saith, I will be with him in trouble. He'll never leave you. He'll not forsake you, even in times of trouble and trial and testing and temptation. He'll never leave you. Remember one time preaching away up the country. And the meeting was over and I was shaking hands with the folks going out. And an elderly gentleman took me by the hand and he pulled me to the side, even as other folk were coming out, and he says, I've got a problem. What is it, sir? He says, I'm a heavy smoker and I can't quit. And I said, sir, Jesus Christ can save you and deliver you from that. And if my Savior, in whom all power in heaven and earth is vested, can save you from a weed like that, then he's not the Savior I think he is. Oh, he can deliver you. He has delivered the alcoholic, he has delivered the drug addict. He has delivered sinful men and women. Ah, friends, and he has cleansed them and purified them. And they're walking as tremendous examples of what the grace of God can do and what the power of the gospel can do. Cleans up men and women's lives, you know. Bless God, he can set you free from that. He can set you free. And though, my dear friends, you might be called to pass through the waters, he says, I will be with thee. He won't leave us in the trouble. He won't leave us when the storms of life are raging, tempests wild on sea and land. We will find a place of refuge in the shelter of his hand. Is that true or is it not? And you know something? Soon we shall see him. As we have said, this world is not our own. Now remember, dear child of God, we are not looking for the undertaker. We are waiting for the upper taker. And until that moment when Christ shouts from heaven and calls his beloved church home, you and I are in the hands of the caretaker. Is he able to take care of you? Yes. Yeah. He is, you know. If only we could trust him. And this leads me to my last point. We have a new prospect. And this new prospect, it's ever opening to the Christian's view. And it's growing sweeter and it's growing brighter as the days go by. The world around us may be in confusion, in darkness, disorganization, and men don't know what way to turn. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Wars and rumors of war. Ah, well, when you see these things come to pass, don't you be afraid. Because our redemption is nearer than when we first believed. Yes, they'll bring in anti-God teaching. But we will stick with the old book.
Yes.
And we will believe with all our hearts that Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Turn with me, please, to the little epistle of Titus. And we will conclude with this. But I don't want to miss this. Because I believe that Paul was guided by the Spirit of God to pen these words. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Not just to some men now, to all men. You see, I can get into the all. If it had said the grace of God that bringeth us salvation hath appeared to some men, I wouldn't know whether I was entitled to get into the some or not. But when it says all men, I can crawl in there all right. For all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to how many men? All men. There's salvation and redemption for you if you want it. That's the past. Here's the present. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, here's how we should live. Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how the Christian is to live. And don't you profess the name of Christ if you're not sick and to live this way. You're only bluffed. You're only deceived by the God of this world. Friend, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. And here's how we should be living as a new creation, as a new person in Christ. We should be denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, and we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil age. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. That's the future tense. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, friends, Jesus Christ is coming again. And what a glorious appearing it will be when he comes. What a blessed hope belongs to the believer. For the coming of the Lord is not only a blessed hope, it's a saving hope, it's a good hope, it's a joyful hope, it's a living hope, and it's a purifying hope. Friend, if this hope isn't purifying us, then let us go round the foundations to see whether we're in the faith or not. It's a glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me say this, friend, that I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed of God, and he's the Savior of the world.
Amen.
You believe that? He's the Christ. He's the anointed God of God. He's the Son of the living God. And the first time he came, it was to seek and to save. It was to do the Father's will. It was to accomplish the work of redemption. Ah, but he's coming again. And when he comes again, it will be a glorious appearing. But are we looking for that blessed hope? Are we really looking for the one who gave himself for us, that substitution? That he might redeem us, that's redemption, from all iniquity, that's sanctification, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, that's our occupation. And there it is. That's the gospel message that I have for you this evening. Are you a new person in Christ? Are you walking a new pathway? Do you realize the new position that you've been brought into? Do you know that you don't have to walk through this waste howling wilderness alone? We have a new partner. His name is Jesus. And we have a blessed hope. Oh, what a glorious prospect it is when Jesus comes again and takes us home to the Father's house, and he presents us before this Father's throne with exceeding great joy. What a moment it will be when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face. All sorrow will erase. So gladly run the race till we see Christ. Let's pray. Lord, bless your word to all our hearts. We thank you for our blessed Savior. We thank you for the finished work of the cross. We thank you for the redemption he obtained there through the shedding of his blood. And we thank thee that as poor lost sinners, we might be reconciled to God through that finished work of the cross. So, Father, we thank you for the prospect that is ours as the children of God, that one day we will see Jesus as he is. We shall be like him, and we shall be in the Father's house, the New Jerusalem. Take our thanks for this day. Bless your dear people. Separate us now, we pray, in the richness of thy grace, mercy, and peace. For our Saviour's sake we ask it. Amen. And amen.